In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For over 4,000 years, the people of God waited for the Messiah to come. The promise pronounced by God to our first parents in the garden was passed down from generation to generation, and the faithful waited and hoped. But as time passed, patience dissipated and the faithful decreased in number. Those actually waiting for the Messiah promised by God became nothing more than a tiny remnant within the house of Israel. That's not to say that the idea of a future Messiah sent by God was gone among the majority. It was still there. But over time, the promise had become perverted. The majority had departed from God's word and were looking not for the Messiah he promised to send, but for a Messiah created by their own imaginations. They were looking for a mighty Messiah to rescue them from their enemies and to establish an earthly kingdom for them, not for a Messiah to rescue them from sin and bring them into his eternal kingdom. God knew that the majority had forsaken his promise, so he sent prophets among the people to remind them about the true nature of the Messiah he would send. And by God's grace, we have the words of those prophets recorded for us, and we see how clearly and accurately they prophesied concerning the Messiah to come. We spoke about this the first week of the sermon series. The prophets tell us how and where the Messiah would be born and for exactly what purpose he would come into the world to save his people from their sins. But the people didn't want to hear about a Messiah who would be a suffering servant. They didn't want to hear about a Messiah who would suffer and die in their place for their sins. No, they wanted a mighty Messiah who would destroy their sinful enemies. The sad result, which we know all too well, is that when the Messiah did come, he was not received by his own. Even though he came exactly as God had promised and accomplished everything he came to accomplish, he was rejected by the majority, labeled as a false prophet and blasphemer. Here we are, now 2,000 years after the Messiah, or Christ, has come, and we, like God's people of old, again have the promise from God that Christ shall come. This, we are told, is our blessed hope, the culmination of our faith. For this time, the Christ won't come in meekness, poverty, and humility, but in great glory as the King of the universe, to set all things right once and for all. But history repeats itself, doesn't it? Patience grows thin, and in the absence of the promise being fulfilled, people are prone to pervert the promise and create their own version of Christ's coming in which to believe. We see the same thing occurring today that occurred back then. And the parallels, my friends, are amazing. Think about it. God promised to send the Messiah. God's people grew impatient and began to create for themselves a different version of the Messiah to come. God sent prophets to proclaim his word and reveal the truth about the coming Messiah. The majority didn't listen because they were too wrapped up in their own sinful wants and desires. Now, God promises to send the Christ who came. God's people grow impatient and begin to create for themselves a different version of the Christ to come. They talk about a secret rapture, 7-year tribulation period, and 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. Just like the majority of old, they are looking for a mighty Messiah to establish an earthly kingdom for the Jews. Finally, they say, the Messiah the Jews were waiting for will come. And once again, God directs His holy people to His holy word to reveal the truth about the Christ to come. This time, it is the apostles of Christ who speak on His behalf. But those who have abandoned His word won't listen. They twist God's word to satisfy their own wants and desires, their own ridiculous imaginations. And just as in the days of old, those looking for a different kind of Messiah than the one promised by God have become the majority, at least the popular majority. They're the ones on the television and on the radio who proclaim themselves to be prophecy experts and sell their lies about a messianic kingdom for the Jews for the masses to buy. And my friends, sadly, the masses are buying it. The masses are listening to these false teachers, buying into their ridiculous and blasphemous lies. They watch them on TV and listen to them on the radio as if they were prophets or apostles sent by God. They buy their books and videos, believing that they express biblical truth about the Christ to come. They are being deceived, and they are in danger of suffering the fate of those first century Jews who didn't recognize the Messiah when He did come. But here's the good news. Here's the glorious part of history repeating itself. Just as He did back then, God still keeps for Himself a faithful remnant. Those who belong to this faithful remnant are those who cling to the truth of God's Word. They believe that the Christ who came 2,000 years ago accomplished everything He came to accomplish. They know that He didn't come to establish an earthly kingdom for the Jews, but to establish a spiritual, eternal kingdom for all who believe in Him. They know that He came to fulfill God's holy law in their place and to suffer and die on the cross to pay the full price for their sins. They know that He rose from the tomb and ascended into heaven and that He fulfills His promise to be with them always as He continues to come to them through His holy word and sacraments. And they know that He shall come again with glory on the last day for all people to see, to judge the living and the dead, and to usher in the new heavens and new earth in which they will dwell forever with the Lord and all His saints and angels in paradise restored. Thanks be to God that He keeps His faithful remnant. And blessed are you who belong to it. For you have been chosen and privileged to know and cling to the truth of God's Word. Give thanks to God, my friends, for you do not belong to the unfaithful lot about whom St. Peter warns, the ignorant and unstable who twist the Scriptures regarding Christ's second coming to their own destruction. Give thanks to God, my friends, for you have been equipped by Him to recognize the false prophets in our world today, the ones our Lord and His apostles warn us about time and time again in Scripture. Give thanks to God, my friends, but be careful not to become filled with pride, lest you too be deceived and fall away from the truth. You see, here's the last and maybe most important part about history repeating itself. God keeps His faithful remnant in a very specific way, just as He always has. He continues to visit them with His Word, to remind them of His eternal truths, and to warn them from falling away, so that they will be ready for the Christ to come. That's what is meant by St. Paul and St. Peter in our readings this morning. They urge the faithful to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for their blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of their great God and Savior Jesus Christ, and to be diligent to be found by Him without spot or blemish and at peace when He returns. They're simply echoing the Lord's own words, who told us when He was here, keep watch and be ready at all times, for you do not know on what day or in what hour I will return. At first glance, these statements of the apostles and our Lord may appear to be commandments that we must follow and that we have the ability within ourselves to heed. Indeed, that is how the false prophets in the world interpret them, exhorting people through motivational messages to conjure up within themselves the desire to fulfill these commandments so that they may earn the reward waiting for them when Christ returns. As Rick Warren, one of the most popular false prophets of our day, puts it in his book, Purpose-Driven Life, we need to find our purpose and fulfill it so that we can pass the test when our time comes and be allowed into heaven. But the faithful remnant of God hears these commandments for what they truly are: gospel invitations. We fulfill these commands not by conjuring up the ability and desire within ourselves, for that, my friends, as you full well know, is impossible. Instead, we fulfill these commands by staying connected to the One who has fulfilled them in our place, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He alone lived a self-controlled, upright, and godly life. He alone diligently fulfilled God's law, and He alone was without spot or blemish, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, sacrificed for the sin of the world. He alone passed the test, Mr. Warren. And as we remain connected to Him alone through faith, we are given credit for what He has done, for what He could, only He could and did accomplish. And here's the point. Here's how the three advents of Christ we've been meditating upon during this Advent season come together. The Christ who has come, or who came, accomplished for us our salvation in full, and He now comes to us through His Word and sacraments to give us the salvation He came to accomplish. And He comes to keep us in the faith so that we will be found without spot or blemish when He returns. It is Christ who gets all the credit, my friends. He alone saved us, and He alone keeps us saved. There is but one way to remain saved, to remain a part of the faithful remnant God keeps for Himself, and that is to continue to receive from Him what He desires to give through His Holy Word and sacraments. As we do, as we continue to come here to His holy house to receive His holy gifts, we have the sure and certain promise of God that we will be His holy people, kept without spot or blemish and blameless on the last day when Christ returns. Christ has come, is coming, and yes, He shall come. And when He does, when He appears in the clouds for all people to see, all the tribes of the earth, we're told, will wail on account of Him. For the great majority of people, His coming will be a dreadful day, full of fear and misery, for they'll know that everlasting punishment awaits them. For the false prophets of the world and the millions that have been deceived by them, it will come as a great shock. for they'll realize that their belief in a secret rapture and all the nonsense that goes with it is utterly false. That day will be the day when the psalm we sang at the beginning of tonight's service is fulfilled. The day when God shall arise, His enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate Him shall flee before Him. The day when He shall drive them away, and they shall perish before God as wax melts before fire. But for the faithful remnant, for you, dear friends in Christ, that day will be a day of rejoicing unlike anything ever known on earth. As the psalmist goes on to declare, on that day the righteous shall be glad. They shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. That will be a great and glorious day for you, my friends, for it will be the day that you experience true life in full for the first time. Life the way God intended life to be, free of sin, perfect, righteous, and holy. And you will live that life in splendor in the new heavens and earth, His perfect kingdom for all eternity. Thus, with St. John, we declare, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and made us a kingdom, priests, to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come. In Your name, amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We stand for the canticle.